Michael Brown there still, bro?
Sure.
I'm here, man.
Michael Brown, let me introduce you to Kevin Meaney.
Hello, Michael Brown.
Hey, Kevin Meaney.
Now, listen, Michael, I don't know if you've heard of Kevin Meaney, but Kevin has been a top comedian in this country for about 25 years. He's been on everything from Johnny Carson to David Letterman, everything in between. Also had his own sitcom, Uncle Buck. He's been on Broadway in Hairspray, and he's a newly out gay man. And I told him, you know, every time I hear stuff like your organization has saved gay men, right?
Well, that's not a primary emphasis, but we work with folks that have come out of homosexuality, sure.
What do you mean? Wait a minute. Did they come out themselves of being homosexual, or did you get them out?
Well, I mean, I would say that God helped them to do it. I'm talking about folks that are friends of mine, colleagues of mine. A guy I'm having on my radio show this afternoon, Jeff Johnson, that came out of homosexuality. We understand that some folks say that they're happy to be gay and that this is where they find a full expression. That's between themselves and God.
Well, let me
they
struggle with it because of people like you. And I'm being serious.
I'm talking about people that were in an affirming gay environment, and deep down they felt there was more, or deep down it didn't line up with their religious convictions.
That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because you are who you are, and it's got nothing to do with God unless you get some propaganda somewhere. But Kevin, could you speak to the gentleman?
I don't know how you could, I struggled with it my whole life, and then, and I was married, and I have a child, and I was in a very healthy relationship, marriage, with my wife. And I finally said, I can't live like this anymore. And I knew since I was, 14 years old that I was gay and I was different from everybody else. But I always hid it. It was something that, I would never admit to myself or to anybody else. And then finally, I said, I'm not going to do this to myself anymore. I'm going to become who I should be and who I am. And I'm going to tell the world that I'm gay. And, since I've done that, I've felt so free and so open, and I have a wonderful relationship now with a wonderful man who my daughter adores and my ex-wife adores, and my mother and father adore. And my mother and father tell me, he's so much better than that other one, meaning my wife. So, it's just, it's something that, and they did not have a problem with it at all. My mom and dad, and they're in their 80s now. Why did you wait until we were in our 80s to tell us that you were a homo? So they were really, really supportive and very happy, and told me the first thing my father said, there's nothing wrong with it. You're doing the right thing. You're a wonderful person. And I know that. I know that I'm doing the right thing.
So Kevin, if someone else has the opposite story of you, that they came out, that they were living a gay lifestyle, that they were in relationship with other guys, etc., and deep down they weren't at home with it, either between them and God
They were
in an environment where others were affirming them, okay? Mm-hmm. And that they have the opposite story, that it's now through God's help changed.
I got to hang up, seriously. I'm sick of the God thing.
Yeah, when I don't think God has anything to do with it.
Either
do
I.
If he's real, why are you guys so intolerant? That's what I don't understand.
Because I'm intolerant.
You talk tolerance and openness, but you are so incredibly intolerant when people have a transformation with God's help and they're happier.
Because it sounds like such crap. Because if I told you about a spaceship landed in my backyard, you'd think I was wacky.
Hey man, it's not a spaceship.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, bro. You haven't touched it. You haven't seen it. You've got an ark with animals. And then you keep bringing it up as a crutch for people that might have
a crutch.
I'm going to let you talk some more. But every other word, like in this homosexual conversation, you keep throwing God in there. And your story makes no sense to me, because if there's a homosexual man, as you described, struggling with it, then you go, God came in. Without the God, how do you be homosexual? Sexual, and then be confused about, am I really? Come on, bro. Every heterosexual dude that I know can't even think of that stuff.
See, you're making it all sexual. There are deeper issues. It's not just a matter of sexual. It's not just a matter of lust, okay? We're talking about people that say, I would rather have a marriage where it's a man and woman together because there's a complementarity. I'm not putting down Kevin. I'm not attacking his relationship. That's his own life, and I'm not his judge. If it's right or wrong...
No, his judge because you're against homosexual marriage. That's judging.
But you're against God.
I am not against God. I'm not against God either.
I think God loves me as much as God loves you. I believe in God. And, you know, it's not God that I don't believe in. It's religion that I've got a real problem with, because most religions, all they want is your money. That's it. You know, that's the primary focus.
That's quite an overstatement, man.
No, it's not. It's not
that
an overstatement.
Like a very bigoted statement.
You look at that crazy lunatic Benny Hinn. I know what they do. They, you know, all these people, they give them envelopes and they write their letters and they go, thank you so much. They don't even read the letters. And I know this for a fact. They throw the letters away and they grab the cash and they put it, you know, they take it and they do whatever they want with it. You know,
that's a very bigoted statement.
It's
not,
it's the absolute truth.
Well, first thing,
okay,
because I
know
it for
a fact.
I have a graduate from my school that actually. And I'm not here to defend Benny Hinn. That's the last thing in my mind. I'll start bringing up some anonymous gay encounters and make every gay man into that. Let's not make a caricature here, okay?
Hold on.
Every TV evangelist is a crook. That is a fact.
That's nonsense.
Please.
There's a lot of corruption. I've written books about corruption in the Christian church. One of my books is called The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. I've devoted years to speaking out against corruption and hypocrisy in the church, more than you guys will do in 20 lifetimes, just like I'll never be a comedian like Kevin. You'll never deal with corruption in the church the way I've got book after book. I talk about it on my radio show.
So do all
the time.
Who publishes
but there
these
are
books?
Plenty for
do
every
you
corrupt guy.
Them?
You got 100 sincere guys that's not making good money, that's pastoring a church, that's visiting people in the hospital.
Shut up, Rick, wait a minute. Bro, the dude said, Kevin Meaney said, every TV evangelist is a crook. So don't tell me about the guys in the corner. Tell me the TV evangelist that isn't. That he made a statement.
You're making a bigoted, judgmental statement based on no facts whatsoever.
I just asked you a question. What are you, a politician? Give me the answer to my question.
Is Benny Hinn a crook or not a crook?
James Robeson is not a crook. Jack Hayford is not a crook. Charles Stanley is not a crook.
So
These guys have been on TV for decades. They are not crooks.
And what about Pat Robertson?
No, we just asked him to name one. So you don't send money to those guys?
To which guys?
The guys you just mentioned.
You do, but it doesn't go in their pocket. They've got ministries. Robeson's feeding poor and hungry people around the world.
That's a beautiful thing. I'm with them.
And look, we from our organization, we've raised up people. 99% of what I do is not focused on homosexual issues. It happened to be a focus of our interview. But people from our school...
Bro, you're writing a book right now.
One of
As
20
we speak.
Books. I've written 20 books. This is the only one just dealing with this.
No, it might be the second one. But you, as we speak, you are writing a book that, to me, is anti-homosexual. So you're concerned with it as we speak.
I'm concerned about stuff. Listen, I'm concerned about a boy being empowered now to go to school dressed as a girl, okay, and then the whole school has to accept it. I'm concerned about the New York City Metropolitan Transit Association that says you can go to the bathroom of your gender identity. You get some cross-dressing 60-year-old guy that can go into the ladies' bathroom. That's wrong. That's not healthy. That's not a constructive...
Well, not if he's pretty.
Oh, and the ladies are going to be happy with that. Here's a guy.
Well, they wouldn't know. Why would they know if he was a man or a woman?
Because,
you know, I know a lot of cross-dressers, and you would not know that they were that was a man.
And
you
don't
know.
Think that a woman, and you don't think you're going to get some voyeur or some other sicko person.
First of all, you're just going to the bathroom. Okay?
By the way, one of my favorite stories, Kevin, is that voyeurism thing. These uptight people, like my brother right here, Dr. Michael Brown. You know, if I get voyeured on, if I'm the victim, or if my wife or my child, my daughter is a victim, I don't give a. I don't get how it hurts. How does it hurt that some pervert looked at you?
Mm-hmm.
How does it hurt? That's the sick. And you are not hurt whatsoever unless somebody from church told you about this evil, heinous person.
Why is it always somebody from church?
Well, because where else?
They're
the only people that about these things.
No, that's not true. You think the
it
only
is true.
People that would mind if some person, forget the homosexual issue here, okay? You think the only person that would care if you got some peeping Tom is a church person?
See, now hold on. Peeping Tom is a, see how they get the other level in?
Okay,
I don't want any.
Lawyers,
yeah,
so
the guy's
some person is going in the bathroom. Some guy is going in the bathroom dressed as a, I want to put the homosexual thing away for a second here, okay?
Right.
And somebody's got something set up so that they can, some heterosexual guy, all right, that they can look in the bathroom and see some lady, you know, dropping her pants or doing something like this, the only ladies that are going to care about that are church ladies?
Okay,
I don't think
okay.
so.
I didn't want to step on you. Is it my turn to answer that question?
I gave you my viewpoint.
Okay, I'm going to give it back to you. The problem with you small thinkers is this. When you see the picture you just painted isn't what goes on. See, here's your picture. Some guy that wants to look at broads gets dressed up as a broad and goes in the bathroom. And then that's a bad thing. But in reality, the cross-dresser that Kevin knows and the cross-dresser that I don't give a about doesn't go in there for that reason. Goes in there to... But you make it sexual. It's the same thing as saying homosexuals in the service or homosexuals in the sports arena are in there getting... How do they hold back their excitement? How come they don't... Dudes, do men hold back their excitement every day from women? Sure. So why do homosexuals got to all of a sudden be every guy they see?
Yeah, okay, so here's the point I was making.
Yeah.
First thing, your average lady is going to be uncomfortable if there's a man in the bathroom, and not every cross-dresser is pretty.
Of course.
And the second thing is, you're going to open the door for heterosexual voyeurs. That's my whole point. But, you know, the thing that's weird to me, we have a very different moral base.
Right,
foundation.
Yours is high and we're scumbags. I'm with it. I signed up for that.
In other words... You guys, I don't know about Kevin's views. I have a lot of problems with a lot of traditional religion also. And then I'm sure Kevin and I have other areas of profound difference where we don't agree. To me, the Bible's a wonderful book. To me, it's God's word. To me, it has wonderful moral standards.
Yep.
I would imagine you don't like it. But
I think it's cool, too. I got one sitting right behind me here.
Oh, okay.
I got a Bible sitting right over here, bro.
So
it's a nice little story.
Do you think every behavior... should be endorsed by society
no.
everything. I mean, cross-dressing is okay.
Yes, fine.
Come to school, cross-dressing
is. Well, you know, you got to take it to the extremes.
I don't have a problem with cross-dressing. I don't have a problem with homosexuality. I don't have a problem with that. I used to have a problem with that because I was afraid.
You know what I have a problem with, bro? People saying kill Obama like they did yesterday at the tea parties.
I agree.
Conservative. Well, that happened.
It's ugly.
It's right on the Hannity show. I can play it for you.
And you know,
that's what I have a real problem with.
Wheeze. Back in the 60s, 72% of the American public disagreed with interracial marriage.
Yeah, amen.
But they still passed the law saying it was legal to marry someone of color. Okay, now, you know, fast forward to 2009, and, you know, most of the people, the majority of the American people, disagree with gay marriage. But it's not up to the people. It's up to the legislature to make the laws. And that's where we are right now, today. It's not going to be up to your coalition or the Christian right to say, no, we're going to get against this and we're going to move on and we're going to stop this gay marriage. This is going to come. This is going to happen because it should happen. It's not that, you know, I'm going to go out and run out and get married. Listen, I've been married. I don't think I want to get married again. You know, but if I do want to get married to a man, I'm gonna be able to do it because it's gonna be the law. It's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, listen. What is law or not law does not necessarily prove what's right or wrong. Okay. When slavery was law, that didn't make it right or wrong. When segregation was law, that doesn't make it right or wrong. If gay marriage is legal or illegal, that doesn't make it right or wrong. But this much we know: marriage is the building block. Marriage and family are the building block of every society. Okay. And
no, it isn't.
No, you're way off base there.
Did you
hear Bill? Talk to any anthropologist or sociologist in the world.
Do you believe?
Marriage and family are the foundation and building block of every society in the world. You mess with that, you mess with the foundations. And look, just like we had no-fault divorce. Oh, that's just going to be great. No-fault divorce is going to be wonderful. Take the pressure off people. Well, 25 years later, all these liberals did studies of it, and we're shocked to find out that it had a very negative effect on kids.
What do you mean? Wait, what do you mean no-fault had the effect on the kids? What had the effect on the kids, Mr. Brown, is that the parents didn't get along and they divorced. What do you want to make? So you want the rules to be tougher so the kids can live with two parents that hate each other?
No.
What do you want?
So that people put more stock in marriage, so that people work harder.
I think people get married. I got married because I wanted to get married. I really wanted to make this happen. I wanted to make it work. But it didn't work. You know, and then, you know, I got divorced. But my daughter is a very healthy 9-year-old who loves both her mother and loves her father. And she's dealing with it, and she's better for it.
And let me tell you this.
Well, you don't know that yet, Kevin. I don't mean to be insensitive.
No, I do know that. I know my daughter.
You don't know how. And listen, I've read the stories of other gals who were raised you know, by gay dads, and they talk about the struggles in their own sexuality. Like, you know, one gal said it's so hard for a girl to grow up with a gay father. She never sees him loving, honoring, or protecting the women in his life.
You know, I can't go on with this. I got to listen. Yeah. Wow. Let's just for a second.
I'm just because, trying to have her experience.
But, you know, liberal. But you see, you look for those things. Here's the bottom line. You've already used liberals as the bad guys. You've used that term. I can't stand conservatives. I just got a letter as you were speaking from a conservative. They'll never listen to me again because I talked about the TV. And I'll read the whole letter on the air. It's hilarious. Hilarious. Because, you know, Barack Obama is the enemy. The guy was president for 3 weeks, and the local conservative talk show host has made T-shirts that says F you, Barack Obama. Very open-minded. And way to
that's
give a, the,
that's
and,
ugly and wrong.
Well,
ugly
that's
wrong.
Bob Lonsberry, the conservative talk show host in Rochester. It is moronic. And anyone that says it isn't. But this letter I got from this person is wonderful. Because it's funny, when liberals protested conservative talk shows across America, basically, I heard on his talk show this week, or at the end of last week, a guy that said he drove by, called them scumbags, and all this wonderful stuff. But God forbid a liberal voice pops up in Rochester, because there is no other, and I already got hate mail, and I ain't listening anymore. Very open-minded. But I can't go on with this, because we got to have a happy show, and we've had you on twice, and we understand where you're coming from, and it won't change. Thank you, Dr. Brown. I appreciate the call.